It may not be vocally announced, but there are many individuals who implied that their secret desire, what is your secret desire? Some individuals have secret desires of glorious popularity. Did you desire of that secretly, or you unknowingly have desired? If you have social media account, you can easily identify individuals who frequently post their beauty online, and subscribers are ready to click that like button and thumbs up and hope to be reciprocated when they update their own profiles. Thanks to advanced technology, popularity is well compensated financially. It has monetary value somehow if you've been popular. And beauty contest amplify popularity to winners. Have you seen videos of winners in beauty contests being crowned that are posted online? And sadly, not all beauty contestants can easily accept defeat of not being crowned. That is, I guess, from India or Sri Lanka. Some participants in the beauty contest have obviously displayed their sorry feeling of not getting a crown. They just cannot hide their envy, grabbing the crown from winners. If you go to YouTube and type grabbing of crown, beauty queen crown. Well, what is so significant about crown? Why do they yearn long to have crown? Why don't they just save much money and buy their own crown? Or they can even choose the design they prefer, right? There was one time when I was looking at bodybuilding competition, and the bodybuilders received a trophy, and the trophy was a wooden sculpture. And I told myself, I know how to sculpt. I can sculpt a trophy for myself, even if I don't win something like that. But what is crown? Why do they want that crown? Crown is supposed to be a symbol of glory, royalty, power, sovereignty, and dignity. Now, if that, there was even a video where the runner-up took the crown from the sitting beauty queen. He took the crown, put it on her head, and then posed for the camera, and then returned the crown. So it's just for display. It's just for picture taking, something like that. Well, could that be considered dignity? Will that be considered as glory? For them, it's glorious for them to have that picture taken. You can easily use, what's that, Photoshop. Take a picture of a beauty queen and Photoshop the face, and that's yours. You can take that and print it and say to yourself, oh, this is me. Why go to those kind of things? Well, truly, if crown is a symbol of glory, royalty, power, sovereignty, dignity, that is truly worth coveting, aspiring for, right? It doesn't require much explanation why beauty contestant cannot easily accept it, that they did not win the crown if they are not chosen as winners, because covetousness for power and glory is natural inclination of the sinful human heart, covetousness. Have you observed that many godly commands start with do not covet, do not covet, do not covet? Why? When God commands us not to covet, our instinct, we are inclined to covet the thing that the Lord say do not covet. The thing that God forbids us not to do, our instinct, our tendency is to do the very thing that God forbids us to do. Our human natural instinct is inclined to do anything ungodly, anything sinful, anything wicked in the eyes of God. In comparison, when God commands us to do something, this is what you are going to do. Respect your parents. Give honor to your parents. We resist, we reject, we ignore, we complain, we say, my parents are not respectable. That's not respectable or not. The command is respect. The command is honor. The Lord did not say, honor your parents when they are honorable. Honor your... No. It's their part to become dishonorable or unrespectable. Our part is to respect and honor them. Why do we reject God's command? Because it is instinctive tendency of our human nature, our humanity, to follow our sinful nature and ignore God. We resist whatever God commands us to do. That's our nature. Can you really, truly trust that God's command are designed for your betterment? Do you think that when God commands us something, it is for our betterment? But why is it that we are very slow to obey? We are very slow to obey God's command. If these godly commands are designed for our betterment, meaning we don't like betterment that God wants us to have. It is because our sinful nature desires sinfulness and rejects godliness. Moreover, godly commands can only be done by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of Christ empowers us, we can obey the Lord. With godly wisdom, we can comprehend and look beyond the essentiality of godly commands in our life. And to ask the Lord for godly wisdom, Lord, give me godly wisdom. When you ask that, it also practically proves that you have faith in the Lord. Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. Christ Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. So when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit of God into our hearts, the Holy Spirit of Christ into our hearts, and we also receive the power and wisdom of God. Can you believe that? Can you comprehend that? So how can we practically know? How do we know that we have received the Holy Spirit of Christ and that the power and wisdom of God we have also in us? How do we know? When godly wisdom of God is at work in us, we have that desire for Christ to lead us, to guide us, to lord over us. There is that desire. It's God at work in us. When the Holy Spirit of Christ empowers us, we follow. Instinctively, we follow. Instinct that there's this enthusiasm that we follow a lifestyle of obedience to Him. We do not need to force ourselves. There's this enthusiasm for us to live according to the will of God. Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. His words are true. Can you accept that? If the words of Christ are true, read this. He declared in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Repeat. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessedness is glorious happiness. Blessedness is the simplest description of favorable and satisfying events, situations, circumstances as a result of obedience to God. If you combine that in a simple word that you would like to use, it's blessedness. The best practical display of faith in the Lord is cheerful obedience to His godly instruction, meaning we don't force ourselves just to obey the Lord. No, we just have that excitement, that enthusiasm. Yes, I like to do this. I like to do this. Not saying I want to do this because the Lord says so. No, you do it because that enthusiasm, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In obedience to God, this attracts obstacles, hindrances, challenges, so that we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. Why is it that there are difficult hindrances, struggles, when we decide to obey the Lord? Why? Obstacles are godly filters, strains. It filters, it separates the genuine believers from the pretenders. That's one reason that the Lord allows us to have obstacles. With godly wisdom, if there's obstacle, we look beyond the blessing waiting for us when we believe. Let's read again, verse 9. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Now, you might be thinking, how could believers take pride in humble circumstances? How could humble circumstances be their high position? Do humble circumstances pertain to trials? Well, previously, the scripture advised us to consider as pure joy when we face trials. When trials test our faith and we persevere, and we grow spiritually mature. But most often, we complain about difficulties, challenges, struggles. We complain. So it's necessary to ask for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. And godly wisdom help us to have that strong confidence in the Lord, even in the midst of struggle, in the midst of trials. Trust that He would bless us when we obey amid struggles. But if we doubt, if we have doubt, if we have hesitation, we cannot expect to receive godly wisdom. We must keep praying. Lord, increase my faith. I just cannot believe that You would give me godly wisdom. Keep praying. Lord, give me godly wisdom. Give me, help me, empower me. Let Your Holy Spirit empower me. That's three things: faith, godly wisdom, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Keep praying every day of your life from now until you sense that you really have received it. It is impossible that God allows difficult challenges to test our faith. Do I really have strong faith in Him? even if you have faith, maybe you are shaken. If you have doubt, meaning your faith may not have grown strong yet. So, and it helps us to grow in humility. So in humility, why is it? Why would God wants us to be humble? Why would God wants us to take pride in such state of humility as high position? It says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. It pertains to humble circumstances as high position. This humility is practical proof, practical manifestation that God's grace is at work in us. It's not just simply modesty, politeness, or courteousness of some sort. It says, Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8, he declared, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Death on the cross is the most humiliating kind of death in those times. What is the most humiliating kind of death that you may think about that? It could be similar to death of the cross, if you would. Only by godly wisdom that we can understand that our ultimate goal as believers of Christ is to reach that humility of Christ Jesus. To have a mindset like him so that we can be obedient to the Lord and have confidence that he would bless us when we obey him. The Lord allows us to encounter difficulties to bless us. Think about that. When you are struggling, and you can imagine beyond that struggle something, you are blessed. If we seek his help, it is by faith we humbly seek wisdom from God. So when you are asking wisdom from God, that is considered humility before God. To solve, to overcome our problem, asking him for help is the work of his Holy Spirit. It's God's grace. God's grace. So asking God for his help, for godly wisdom, that is active inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. If you have that desire, deep desire, you know it when it's deep desire and just pretending desire. Basically, when we ask God for his help, it proves faith in him. King David was considered the greatest king of Israel. He personally testified in Psalm 149, verse 4. Let's read this together. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Now, think about that. He crowns the humble with victory. Humility comes before honor, you know that? Humility comes before honor. It comes from the Lord. Crown has no meaning to the loser, because that person is loser. Even if he grabs that crown, it doesn't mean anything. Do you know that King David had always been victorious in all his battles? One of my favorite book in the Bible is the book of Samuel, reading through the life experiences of King David. I want to read and reread and reread how could King David become the greatest king? Of course, he had a lot of loss, He had mistakes too, but he was always victorious in all his battles, and I like that experience. I have my flaws, I have my mistakes, and I can identify with those mistakes, but I would like also to identify with him in his victories. What was the secret of King David? He didn't fail to rely upon the Lord. Even if he knew that what to do, he relied upon the Lord. After he defeated his enemies, he should have been very confident now, kayang-kaya ko yan. No. David did not completely rely upon his ability or the capabilities of his soldiers. He inquired of the Lord of what to do. Did he perceive that a similar situation can have different results, different outcomes? There was a time when King David defeated the Philistines twice. We can read this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18 and following. Look at that. The Philistine had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go to and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim. There he defeated them. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded. He struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Now, similar situation. Philistines came, spread on the valley of Rephaim. David inquired. The Lord gave them different strategy of attack. Why? It could be the Philistine might be thinking, palagay ko, chamba lang yun yung pagkatalo natin. Ano? Chamba lang yun. We can do different way. See, if you do the same thing, if you are playing basketball, for example, if you do the same thing, the same way that you approach an offense, the other team would think of how you would defend you better if you do the same thing. Similarly, the Lord knows that if David would do the same thing that they did at first, the reason the Philistine came into this same place in the Valley of Rephaim is that the Philistine have devised a plan to counterattack David and his army. But the Lord knows about that, so he gives them different strategy. So when they face the Philistine again, and most probably the Israelites may have thought that if they use the same strategy that he used previously, they would be very victorious. Kayang-kaya natin yan. Mangyaring ganun ang kanilang iniisip. But the Lord did not want that to happen. He wants the Israelites to trust him. So when David inquired again, the Lord gave him different approach. And that the Israelites may know that it's the Lord who enabled them to win the battle. David was humble. He did not assume that they can easily defeat the Philistines again. Instead, he sought guidance from the Lord, who gave them victory to the humble David. What do you normally advise? For example, you have a problem, financial problem, and your friend have the same financial problem. What do you advise your friend who has similar problem that you had? Would you advise them the way you did to solve your problem? Now, even if we know what to do, it is best to pray for godly wisdom and guidance. Even if God allowed it, that you would do the same, He would enable you to think about that. Praying is trust that God knows far better than our human expertise. Can you accept that? Can you accept that all human wisdom combined in the past, in the present, in the future is just a fraction of the wisdom of God? Can you accept that? With godly wisdom, we can prioritize things with eternal value, our wealth, social status, or physical appearance and beauty. They can be useful also to earn eternal treasure. Let's read again verse 10 and 11. But the rich should take pride of in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower, for the sun rises with the scorching heat and withers the plant. Its beauty falls, its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away while they go about their business. What does it mean for the rich to take pride in their humiliation? It's a common observation that some rich people readily humiliate the lowly people, eh? Many individuals don't want to be humiliated. They don't want that experience, so that they exert much effort, earn much money to get rich, right? So that they won't experience some kind of humiliation from the rich. Well, can you easily understand this phrase, the rich should take pride in their humiliation? If so, what is it? Or not, we need to ask the Lord for godly wisdom to understand His words. It's by godly wisdom we understand that phrase. It also mentioned that with the scorching heat of the sun, plants wither, blossoms fall, and beauty is destroyed. The rich is busy in his business, but not forever. What does James want to tell us about that? Well, rich or poor, the godly person has wisdom and can realize when it's his time to leave this world. Doesn't mean that when you are rich, you can have longer life. It doesn't mean that when you are poor, you can have shorter life or longer life. The person with godly wisdom realized that all his hard work of accumulating much wealth is meaningless. Now let me share an experience. Just lately this year, when I brought home my car, it was the next day we experienced that symptoms of COVID, and I suspect that there was virus inside the car. And then I thought of myself, well, if this is really COVID, since COVID says many are dying about in COVID, so I considered that situation, if I die, well, will I feel bad that I was not able to use or experience much of my car? The experience of having a car, something like that. And I think about it, well, the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what came into my heart. Anything will be gone anyway. And I praise God that He enabled me not to cling on those material things, instead to trust in Him. Now think about that. Think about the most precious material wealth that you have. And the Lord would say goodbye to those things and you will come to me. How would you react? Sabi ng isang nanliligaw, hindi pa ako kinasal. Bakit nga, Lord? Yung ganun. Well, is it not a humiliating reality when we exert much, our best effort to accumulate much wealth, but only to leave them behind when we leave this world? Now, the threat of nuclear bomb is just somewhere, and it can easily reach this place. And think about that. Anytime now in the coming years, it could be if there are people there who are controlling nuclear power and cannot think wisely, we don't know. God may allow it to happen also. I don't know. But with godly wisdom, we would rather use material wealth, social status, ability to earn eternal treasure. There was this parable in the Bible, parable of Jesus Christ. You might have read about this. You may want to read it in Luke chapter 16. It's in there. But there was this manager. He was accused of mismanagement. And the boss said, okay, submit all financial documents. And the manager sensed that he will be fired. Why would the boss want those financial documents? Surprisingly. And then, so what he did, the manager connived with debtors, those people who borrowed money from the boss, and told them, okay, forge your bill. Make it into half the amount you owe my boss. Half the amount you should pay my boss. And the dishonest manager became friends to the debtors, and they welcomed him in their community after he was fired. It says in Luke chapter 16, verse 8 to 9, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friend for yourselves, so that when it's gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. Truly, anything we have accumulated and attained from this world will be taken away from us. Eventually, we are just managers. Can you accept that? You are just managers. You are not the real owner, because you cannot bring with you what you have accumulated. With godly wisdom, we can accept peacefully that we are just managers of things we get in this temporary world. We can still enjoy those things we have while we are alive, but don't forget to prepare for your eternal residence. Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18, not that I desired your gift. What I desired is that more be accredited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, they are fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Accordingly, the Philippian church was not the most, not the richest church in those times. Probably most members of the church in Philippi are average earner or even poorer, because Philippi at the time was a colony of Rome, and it is where retirees reside in those times. So most probably some of those retirees from the government, Roman government, have been there. And you know, if you are a retiree, do you earn much money? Do your CCP, old age pension, enough for you to compensate your lifestyle? No, it's not, right? Unless you have saved much and you were working. So you can think about that. But the Philippians, even in their difficult times, keep on sending financial support to the ministry of Apostle Paul. They regularly sent missionary support to Apostle Paul. Paul did not require them, did not ask them to support his mission ministry, but he gladly accepted their generosity. And he added this, verse 19, he said, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Because Apostle Paul knew that the Philippians were in need of many things, and yet they were willing to sacrifice and help in the ministry of Apostle Paul. So he affirmed that their missionary support was credited and it added to their eternal treasure. So he did not reject but gladly accept them. Of course, we wish also to please God. That is why we support mission ministries. Mission or ministry support of any kind, financial, prayer, or presence, are fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasant to God. Believers who support missions and ministry activities are blessed. So think about that. Do you know somebody who is a missionary? Keep praying. Keep praying. If you are able, ask the Lord if you can send something, just small amount maybe, save what you are spending at somewhere every month, and you may send that support. God will sustain your need. That's for sure. Start praying for mission. If you are called to be missionary, wait for God's perfect timing. The perfect timing of God will come sooner. Mission borders will be open. Think about this for a while. There's disturbances somewhere around the globe. There's aggression in some part of the world. Think of yourself. If God would send me to that place of aggression, will I go? Is there any if, is there any but, if there's any something like, "No, Lord, I don't want." Ask the Lord to fill you with his wisdom. Fill you with the Holy Spirit. May not necessarily be you going, but if it is the Lord's will for you to keep praying, not just for one particular country, but also the aggressor, they need the Lord. The reason this country is aggressive, because they are the people who needs the Lord the most. And yet, when you go to the social media, they would only pray for the victim, because they think the victim needs the Lord the most. Well, everyone, every person in this world needs the Lord. Think about that. Pray about that. Instead of complaining, instead of trying to give thumbs up only and smiley and crying emoticons out there, just say a prayer. "Lord, let the gospel of Christ spread swiftly in these nations who need you." That would be better in the eyes of the Lord than your thumbs up. Those thumbs up can be encouragement to others, but think about it. You need to earn your own treasure, eternal treasure. Let's read again verse 12. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those." He promised to those who love him. Do you love the Lord? We can only love the Lord when the Holy Spirit produces love in our hearts. We do not force, yes, I love the Lord, yes, I love the Lord. No. We do not need to say, I will love the Lord. It should be the fruit of the Spirit that enables us to love the Lord. And we sense that in our hearts without trying to let others know that we love the Lord. We just want to love the Lord. All of us will be tested. Problems, struggles, whatever you face in life, difficulties, different levels of testing, but believers with genuine faith in Christ can persevere. Can you easily observe yourself now that you can persevere? Perseverance practically testifies that we have strong confidence in the Lord, in His promise of eternal life to genuine believers. We overcome difficult concerns of life. We also trust the Lord that He would use all circumstances, good or bad circumstances, for us to experience the promise of Christ's life to its fullness. Well, does it mean that only Christians who can persevere will enter heaven? No, there will be Christians who genuinely believe in Christ, but they were not given enough chance for their faith to be tested, to persevere or mature spiritually. A person I know said, yeah, you can continue to believe in the Lord, trust in the Lord, practice your religion. Well, maybe when I am dying, that is the time when I would trust in the Lord and practice my religion too. And that's many people have that kind of mindset. They want to be good believers only when they are dying, and they miss the crown of life because of that mindset. Maybe they are true believers, genuine believers, but their faith did not mature. When we all enter heaven, when the Lord returns, a crown of life will be given only to believers who have persevered amidst difficulties, amidst trials. Only to believers who love the Lord. See, all genuine believers will enter heaven. No doubt about that. And live with Him for all eternity. We cannot argue with that. But there are believers who will be wearing many crowns. Did you know that? According to the Bible, there are five crowns in heaven that was literally described in the scripture. Eternal crown symbolizes treasure and glory awarded to the children of the King of Kings. Do you consider yourself as child of the King of Kings? So you feel, do you feel like you are of royal blood? Here's the five crowns that we may earn: crown of life, crown of righteousness, incorruptible crown, or crown that will last forever. The crown of glory, crown of rejoicing. What are these crowns? In James chapter 1, verse 12, we just read a while back, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. The crown of righteousness, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous God, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but to all who have longed His appearing. Now, if you are looking forward, waiting for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that is what it means. You know that you expect that the Lord will return anytime soon. And number three, incorruptible crown, or a crown that lasts forever. It says in Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 to 27, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not but that will not last. That will not last. But Apostle Paul said in the following verse, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Crown that will last forever. Verse 26, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Verse number four, crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 to 4, be shepherds of God's flock, that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Number five, crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So how many crowns do you hope to wear eternally in heaven? How many? What should we do to earn our eternal crown? What are the requirements of the Lord to award this of eternal crown? Let's take a look again. The crown of life. The crown of life is awarded to faithful believers who persevere and endures trials. That's the crown of life. Pray about that. If you love the Lord, you will have that. The crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness is given to believers who wait patiently of the advent, second advent of Christ, the return of Christ. Patiently waiting, expecting. That is what it means, wait patiently. You expect with enthusiasm, maybe tomorrow the Lord will come and I need to live my life according to his will. The incorruptible crown, or the crown that will last forever, is will be earned by believers who practice their spiritual gifts intentionally, purposely, deliberately, and diligently. What is your gift? Know your spiritual gift, then practice it. If your gift is generosity, you want to give. If your gift is service, you want to serve, whatever kind of service you want. Your gift is teaching, you want to teach, do not quit. If your gift is leadership, take it. The crown of glory. The crown of glory will be awarded primarily to diligent ministry leaders, elders, deacons, pastors, teachers, missionaries, evangelists. It's leadership. So when you are nominated to ministry leadership, when everything comes into normalcy, when everything will become normal again, and we have election in this church, and you are nominated, pray about that. Pray about that and accept the leadership according appropriate to your gift. If your gift is evangelism, accept that nomination for you. If your gift is to be the elder of this church, accept that gift. Accept that challenge for you. It's opportunity to earn your crown of glory. It's yours to take or miss. Crown of rejoicing now is exclusively given to disciples who make disciples. And our church slogan is, member has a disciple. Why do we have that kind of slogan? Can you repeat that? a member has a disciple. Because we aim as a congregation of believers that every church member will eventually earn their crown of rejoicing. So pray that God enables you to identify the person He prepared for you to disciple. Don't just force, no, I need to disciple, and you want to disciple everyone. And you are frustrated because you are discipling the wrong person. Ask the Lord who would be the person He prepared you, He prepared for you. Maybe He prepared 5 people for you, or 1, or 3, or more. I don't know. But God gives you that ability to disciple as much as according to the gift He had given you. How could you disciple? Identify your spiritual gift. And now, as you practice your spiritual gift in discipling others, you not only earn your crown of rejoicing, but you also earn your crown of what? Incorruptible crown. Crown that will last forever. So pray that God help you. Just pray. Keep on praying. One day He will. When you are prepared, when the person is prepared, is ready to be discipled, He will enable you to cross path. You will cross path with that person you are to disciple. You like it or not, it will happen. Because God had already prepared it for you. It may be in this church setting, the community, or maybe in your home, or your relatives, friends, or even those people trying to persecute you. It could be those people. People who agitate you, who come close to you. This person is always coming to me. Don't try to evade that person. That person keeps on coming to you because it could be that person had been prepared by the Lord for you to disciple. So pray, Lord, why is this person coming to me often? Is this the person you want me to disciple? Lord, help me to act accordingly. Can you imagine when we enter heaven, when we are in heaven, could you imagine when we would be the loudest rejoicing believers in heaven? People would be thinking, who are those so loud rejoicing believers? Well, what would people would say? Maybe, oh, taga TMEC yan, galing ng TMEC yan. Ay, sayang, galing ako doon noon. Mangyaring ganun ang isipin ng iba. And you will be very thankful that you were a member of the Maples Evangelical Church, that God allowed you to be here. Because if you heed the call to make disciple, that rejoicing will be great. Many individuals cannot appreciate their appearance. Do you ever think, oh, sana ganito ang aking ilong, ganito ang aking height, ganito ang aking tainga, ganito ang aking mata, ang aking kilay? Have you ever had that kind of desire? And sana ako'y pinanganak ng ganito, ganyan. Your social status, you cannot appreciate because you cannot qualify for beauty contest. Or you cannot marry the person with royal blood. Well, rejoice. The Lord knows your unspoken dream, which is why He gave us the scripture for us believers to know our opportunities and prepare for our eternal crown. You may not be able to get all your wishes, ambitions in this world because you were not born the way you wish to be, but you can be in heaven. What is the very purpose of eternal crown that we need to aspire for? Crown is supposed to be symbol of glory, royalty, power, sovereignty, and dignity. And eternal crowns are awarded to deserving children of the King of Kings, children of the Lord of Lords. Believers, listen. We are a royal priesthood, and we will reign with the Lord forever. Amen. Every believer is a candidate to earn at least one eternal crown. How many crowns do you wish to have eternally?